an interesting Chasam Sofer about two emotions that are very deeply embedded in the human psyche and that we struggle with. And Yaakov, as a human being, had struggled with them as well. One of them is the trait of guilt and uncertainty and moral gnawing when it gnaws at you. And one is the very, very interesting, empowering, but volatile trait of ambition. When Yaakov discovers Yosef's condition, that he's still alive, he's obviously very excited. Vayomer Yisrael Rav, Od Yosef Benichai, Elcha Virenu B'ter Mamos. And of course, the word that juts out, the glaring word in this pasuk, is the word Rav. So according to the Chasam Sofer, Rav means that there are multiple resiliences, there are multiple rehabilitations of Yaakov, there are multiple ways in which he springs to life after his 20-plus year of dormancy, of emotional mourning and grief. Chasam Sofer talks about three, quotes the Gemara, in Ksuvos that the word Rav can mean three. One is his physical rehabilitation, number two is his religious reinstatement because he thought he had lost a child, and Gemara in Brachos talks about Rishayim are called Mesim, so now that he feels that he's been vindicated, so he springs to life. But whether it's three or just a general term, it's insinuating multiple levels of rehabilitation and reinstatement and resurrection. There is an element of resurrection that isn't just physical or religious, but emotional. And that's what the Chasam Sofer talks about. He calls it Ruach HaKodesh, but it's really Ruach HaKodesh / emotional. When Yaakov first heard Yosef's dream, he could have understood those dreams in two ways, in two manners. It could have been seen as naked ambition, egotism, self-absorption. Yosef is standing in the middle watching everyone, including his parents, bow to him. Or it could have been Ruach HaKodesh, that Yosef was destined to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mission. And Yaakov is contemplating. Yaakov is considering, is wrestling with it. The Torah writes in Parshas Vayeshev, V'aviv shamaris hadavar. Presumably, Chasam Sofer insinuates, Yaakov had assumed that it was Ruach HaKodesh. Had he assumed that it was naked ambition and egotism, he should have scolded Yosef. He should have rebuked Yosef. The fact that he's quiet indicates some degree of attribution to Ruach HaKodesh, to a divine plan. Now, I spoke in a different shiur about the dangers of executing divine plans on the backs of other people's emotions and needs, but at least at a certain level, Yaakov felt as if these dreams were divinely mandated and despite the difficulties and hardships that would cause at a human level, should be executed. And therefore, he didn't in any way oppose or attempt to reverse Yosef's dreams. But when Yosef dies, then Yaakov is riddled with guilt. And he says to himself, the Chasam Sofer claims, maybe he had missed it. Maybe he misinterpreted Yosef's dreams. Maybe he thought too highly. Maybe they were really egotistical dreams rather than sublime, noble, selfless dreams of leadership. Because if they were dreams of Ruach HaKodesh and Hashem's divine mandate, well, they were unfulfilled. And therefore, for all these years, he's not just mourning Yosef, but to a degree, he's wrestling with his own failure as a father. How did he raise such an egotist? Why didn't he scold or rebuke or try to correct Yosef? And that's a very difficult trait to live with, moral uncertainty, when we feel as if we have possibly. There's a certain emotional challenge when we do commit a moral crime, but there's a very different type of challenge where we're unsure whether we could have done better. We could have succeeded in ways that we failed to live up to, and especially when people are taken prematurely and there's unfinished business and unspoken words and issues that have yet to be resolved, that open wound can be very, very painful. And it's another layer of Yaakov's suffering. He doesn't just suffer the loss of his child. He suffers the doubt. Did he act correctly? The frustration that maybe he raised someone who needed moral correction. He didn't provide it either when he was raising Yosef. Maybe he had a hand in it by favoring Yosef. So Yaakov's carrying a lot during these 20 years. And when Yosef's alive, there's some degree of catharsis. And not just when Yosef's alive, but when Yosef is the ruler, when he realizes that presumably the other brothers had bowed to him, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ruach HaKodesh, or the dream, had possessed Ruach HaKodesh, and he himself had made the right call. So there's a journey that Yaakov undergoes, not just about Yosef's death or life, whether he's alive or dead, but about his own record as a father. And I think all the parents listening to this year can deeply identify. We look back at our parenting and we ask ourselves in a very limited sense. It's something we ask ourselves in general in life. Did we act morally? Did we perform everything we could? But as parents, we look back and say, we could have done better. And it's inevitable we could have done better. And learning to live with that guilt and learning to accept ourselves and hopefully being able to frame our behavior that we did the best we could under the circumstances, given the information, given the experiences we had possessed at that point, is an important stage. And I don't think Yaakov reaches it, at least in the Chassam Sofer's narrative on his own. He reaches it by realizing that Yosef was alive and that the dream was really divinely inspired. But it's important, even without these dreams in Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to reach that type of resolution. The undercurrent of this Chassam Sofer is the delicate boundary between mission and divinely inspired mandates and healthy ambition and a healthy sense of empowerment, self-empowerment to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations, and egotism and self-centeredness and self-absorption. And it's very hard to find that balance. And this is, I think, really the saga of Yosef and his relentless attempts and efforts to impose the dreams and to impose his visions on a world which may or may not accommodate them, and if the world will accommodate them, it will only be through the anguish and the suffering of so many people. And Yaakov's moral dilemma and Yaakov's churning and Yaakov's deliberations to whether it was egotism or divinely inspired mandates is really reflective of how razor thin the balance sometimes is, and how careful we must be to try to find ourselves on the right side of that border.